The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's May the 8th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, it appears WRDA, the Water Resources Development Act, may be taken up by the U.S. Senate yet this week, maybe tomorrow. The bill to update things like the locks and dams on the upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers is getting closer to the president's desk. And the Australian Wheat Board, a monopoly in the export market, has gotten support for continued existence from farmers in that nation. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau and our regular Tuesday fly-around of the Midwest. We'll hear about crop conditions in the top five corn-growing states of the nation. Oh, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled on this Tuesday afternoon in Chicago at the Board of Trade. May wheat futures off 13 cents, down 13 at $4.69 on their settlement. July, your harvest month at 481, down 13. September at 492 and three quarters, down 13 and one quarter. In December, wheat futures at 503 were down 11 and a half cents. March contract, $5.10 a bushel in the soft red winter wheat pit, down 11. From the corn pit nearby, May contract, 15 and three quarters cents lower at 353 and three quarters, settled right on its 50% retracement from the previous low to the last high. July futures, 363 and a half, down 15 and a half cents. September at 365 and a half, down 15 and a quarter. And December, 366 and a half, down 16 and three quarters. March futures into corn pit at 377 and a half, down 16 and three quarters. May at 385 and a half, down 15 and a half. And July futures into corn pit at $3.91 a bushel for next year, down 15 and a quarter cents. May soybeans at 726, down 3. July down 3 at 739 and a half. August at 746 and three quarters. They were down 3 as well. September's down 1 and three quarters at 754 and three quarters. And November beans at 768 and three quarters, down 3 1/2 cents. January futures for 2008 down 3 at 779, and the March contract finished 3 3/4 lower at 785 and a half. July bean meal futures at 199.80, off $1.70. July bean oil at 33.04, unchanged on the afternoon. Taking a look at the outside markets, crude oil futures at 62.25 were up 78 for the day, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,295 was down just about 18 points on the afternoon. The numbers from the Mercantile Exchange settled like this for the day. From the feeder cattle pit, nearby May contract at 108.32 and a half, up 82 and a half cents. June live cattle at 92.32 and a half, up 37 and a half. And the August contract there, $1.02 and a half higher at 91.72 and a half. May lean hog, $74.50 a hundredweight. They were down 87 and a half cents on the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us on this busy Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the downturn in the market from Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Tough day for the corn and the wheat today in Chicago.
Yeah, somebody left the window open and all the weather premium went out. A lot of the planting there in Iowa that we weren't really looking for, as wet as it had been out there, and some tremendous progress, and of course the weather forecast turning to look like they're going to have a better chance of getting the second half of that crop in the ground here in the next week and a half.
Well, it sure looks like the traders in Chicago are convinced that everything's going to get in, and they'll have that 90.5 million corn acre.
That or even maybe a little more, Todd. We continue to here and now, as planting progress goes along, that around the country, that maybe farmers are throwing in extra field they hadn't anticipated into corn, too.
So the question really is, as we take a look at the numbers from the day, I suppose in the nearby May contract for the old crop, it did a 50% retracement, a little bit more than that, touched below that. It's got an outside week going at this point, and of course it's on the bottom end of that trade. 353 and three quarters is a 50% retracement from the high at 449. In the marketplace and in the May contract, that is, from the low, there's a 50% retracement in place. Will it hold?
Big question. We did see some commercial buying today, or talk of commercial buying coming in today and stabilizing the market a little bit at some of these levels. This is technically, like you say, we're down on that support level. It's got to see if it can hold. If it does punch down on through this, looking at July, with 366 was the break out of the bear flag on the formation, and that we did close below that there. So, there's some technical points in here. We bounced off this 350 range basis the May a couple other times. Todd, we'll be able to do it again. We're going to be looking at the weather forecast and what the commercials are actually going to do at this point, if they will actually step in and do a little buying here.
So now the betting men have to step up and decide whether Chicago will play weather and if they'll try to kill the crop a couple of times between now and harvest, or at least take a big portion out of it with weather and hot and dry spells, or whether they should go ahead and decide to make some new crop sales. What do you think?
I think Dave asked me this morning, he seemed very surprised, and I said today's probably the day to sit on your hands. And the respect is, we do want to see if this point holds. We hate to be sellers on what could be the low. The last couple times we've been here has been the low. If we do break on through it, probably some additional sales or at least some purchase of puts is probably warranted, Todd.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
We've got real nice weather. We're progressing greatly over here, and our planning should get wrapped up by the end of the week.
All right. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Taking a look at the weather forecast now from our own Ed Keezer. Mr. Keezer says across the two-state region tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies, some scattered showers, some thunderstorms. Lows will range from 55 in southeastern Indiana to 63 in western Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs will range from 72 along the Chicago lakefront to about 84 in the south. The extended forecast, scattered showers and thunderstorms will continue right on through Thursday with some isolated showers still possible in a few areas. Friday, mostly dry and warm weather expected over the weekend. The cold front expected to move through from the northwest to the southeast across Illinois and Indiana about Monday evening, and that could trigger some showers and thunderstorms. And temperature should remain a bit above average through Monday, with some cooling possible after that. Dave Dickey is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, U.S. Senators Barack Obama of Illinois and Tom Harkin of Iowa have introduced legislation establishing a national low-carbon fuel standard that would reduce annual greenhouse gas emissions in the short and long term. The bill requires a reduction of about 180 million metric tons in emissions in 2020, the equivalent of taking over 30 million cars off the road. Australia's main state farmer agency yesterday called for the government to keep the country's controversial wheat export monopoly. Australia's government is in the final stages of a marathon deliberation on changes in the system. Talks after it was revealed that AWB Limited provided $222 million in kickbacks to Iraq, breaking UN sanctions. AWA was stripped last December of its monopoly power over wheat exports. The Senate could take up the Water Resources Development Act as early as tomorrow. The legislation would modernize locks on the Upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers. The Senate previously approved WERDA by a voice vote last July. American Farm Bureau Federation Transportation Specialist Austin Perez.
The majority leader last week brought up the House version of the Water Resources Development Act bill and filed a cloture motion to end debate on the bill, which would ripen around now. We would expect that bill, because the Senate's taken up on other issues, we would expect them to turn their attention to this issue on Wednesday.
The White House opposes the latest version on financial grounds. The Senate version contains about $13 billion for more than 200 water projects. The House passed WERDA on April 19th by a vote of 394-25. The House version would authorize more than $14 billion of funding for about 700 navigation, flood control, and environmental restoration projects. Analysts say that Brazil's ethanol sector could cool over the next 6 months to a year as prices to acquire or build Brazilian ethanol mills have shot up by as much as 100% from a year ago. Analysts say slumping New York sugar prices could force indebted local mills to sell off assets more cheaply. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says the agency's version of Farm Bill 2007 contains nearly $5 billion to support specialty crops for market promotion, sanitary issues, nutrition, and research. The proposals also would eliminate provisions of the 2002 Farm Bill that limit planting flexibility on base acres to exclude fruits, vegetables, and wild rice. And the Federal Reserve meets tomorrow with analysts looking for the Fed to keep the wording of its post-meeting statement largely unchanged from a month ago. Analysts expect the Fed to acknowledge housing market troubles again, but to reiterate that policymakers remain worried about inflation pressures. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next in today's Listener Opinion Forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkas takes up funding for the FDA. The Food and Drug Administration.
When concerns about safety of pet food surfaced several weeks ago, it seemed reasonable at the time to think the story would make headlines for a few days before being replaced by other big stories. Since the pet food story broke, there's been no shortage of news. But in spite of the passage of time and other major news events, the tainted pet food story is still with us, continuing to make front page headlines after more than 100 brands of pet food have been recalled and an untold number of beloved family pets have died. Rather than receding, the story seemed to be growing. It now appears feed tainted with the same chemical, melamine, as the pet food was given to hogs at farms in several states. While the hogs have been quarantined and the Food and Drug Administration officials are trying to track down what happened, when it's possible to predict how this story will ever end. Authorities have stressed that, as far as they know, none of the hogs that have tested positive for melamine ended up in the human food supply. Tainted food for animals isn't the only big story the Food and Drug Administration is working on at this time. The same federal agency was tasked with responding to the headline-grabbing news about contaminated peanut butter and spinach outbreaks in the recent months as well. Without question, all this information points to the need to ensure the Food and Drug Administration has the resources to make thorough, timely inspections as the job becomes harder than ever before, particularly as the number of imported food products surges. The melamine that's affected pet food was traced to China. The value of Chinese agricultural exports to the United States is more than 20 times what it was in 1980. But China still struggles to meet international standards for food safety. The United States subjects only a small fraction of its food imports to close inspection, but each month rejects about 200 shipments from China, mostly because of concerns about pesticides and antibiotics and about misleading labeling, that according to a recent report by the Washington Post. However, while combining the inspection responsibilities of the Food and Drug Administration and the Department of Agriculture into a new agency may sound like an easy solution to recent problems in the food supply, we know, like most quick fixes, it won't solve all the problems. What we need to ensure there aren't future problems, like those involving pet food, peanut butter, and spinach, is more enforcement of existing laws and regulations, which would be made easier by additional funding for inspectors and food safety research efforts. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, call us at 217-333-0850.
Programming on WILL is made possible in part by Wachovia Securities, 1605 South State Street in Champaign. Wachovia starts with your life and plans your money around it. More information is available from Tom Manolakis, First Vice President Investments, at 351-8694.
USDA's weekly crop progress report released Monday at 3 Central showed 53% of the corn in the nation had been planted. That's catching up, but still behind the five-year rolling average of 63% done. 14% of the corn crop is up and growing. 10% of the soybeans are in the ground. And that's behind pace, too. The five-year average is 17%. The winter wheat crop is coming along nicely around the nation. 40% is in good condition. Last year, that number, just 29%. And 17% of the wheat crop is said to be in excellent condition. Last year's figure at this time was just 6%. Here's our Tuesday update of field conditions in order of total corn production. From top to bottom with the statisticians from Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota's missing this week, and Indiana. They are the top five corn-producing states in the nation.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending May 6, 2007. The past week brought unseasonably warm but very wet weather to much of Iowa. Statewide average precipitation was 2.41 inches. More than double the weekly normal of 1.01 inches. Over the past 2 weeks, the statewide precipitation averaged 4.75 inches, the highest two-week total since late May 2004. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 7.7 degrees warmer than normal. Soil temperatures as of Sunday were averaging in the upper 50s northeast to low 60s southwest. Warm sunny days at the beginning of last week allowed farmers to get in the field and make significant progress. Early planted fields have had some crusting, which has slowed emergence. The week ended with more rain, which stopped planting and caused flooding and erosion. Some fields will need to be replanted. The moisture helped pastures recover from frost damage, but made feedlots muddy and conditions undesirable for livestock. There were 3.8 days suitable for field work, compared to 3 days last year. Topsoil moisture rated 0% very short or short, 44% adequate, and 56% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 0% very short or short, 58% adequate, and 42% surplus. Corn planting at 53% is 1 week behind last year's 78%. Fertilizer application at 90% was 3 percentage points below both last year's and the five-year average of 93%. Pasture rain condition rated 7% very poor or poor, 31% fair, and 63% good or excellent. Some reports of young livestock losses due to cool, wet weather were noted. This has been Joe Prusaki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending May 6, 2007.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 6. Above normal temperatures and seasonal winds quickly dried down the topsoil early last week, which allowed farmers to get back into their fields and continue planting corn. Also favoring planting progress was below normal precipitation, with the weekly statewide average rainfall coming in at 0.75 inches, slightly below the average for this state of 0.9 inches. The two southern crop reporting districts accumulated the most rainfall last week, with an average of just over 1 3/4 inches. Statewide, topsoil moisture was rated at 4% short, 77% adequate, and 19% surplus. Corn planting progress made another giant leap forward and currently stands at 72% complete compared to last year's 83%, and now only trailing the five-year average of 73% by 1 percentage point. The most notable corn planting progress last week was in the Northwest Crop Reporting District, where they advanced their plantings by over 50 percentage points in just 1 week, finishing out the week at 68%. Leading the state in planting progress were the West, Southwest, and the Southwest Crop Reporting Districts at 81%. 29% of the corn fields have emerged, compared to 42% 1 year ago and 37% for the five-year average. Soybean planting at 7% complete made limited progress due to the fact that most soybean planters are still in use finishing up corn. 13% was planted by this date last year, and 15% is the five-year average. The soft red winter wheat crop was 43% headed, and that compares to 56% 1 year ago and 36% for the five-year average. Condition of the crop was rated as 19% very poor, 19% poor, 36% fair, 22% good, and only 4% excellent. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending May 6, 2007. Favorable conditions at the beginning of the week allowed producers to get corn in the ground, but rains across the majority of the state late in the week forced farmers out of the fields. Corn planted made progress and was 40% complete. This is still well behind last year's 63 and 4 days behind the average of 58. Corn emerge was 8%, behind the 12 of last year in average. Soybean planting began and was 2% complete, behind last year's 8 and the 5-year average of 10. Wheat conditions improved from last week and rated 61% good or excellent, above last year's condition of 47%. Alfalfa conditions also improved from last week and rated 41% good or excellent, but remain well below last year's 75%. Oat conditions rated 62% good or excellent, behind last year's condition of 70%. Sorghum planting began and was 1% complete, behind last year's 2 and the average of 3. Pasture and range conditions improved from last week and rated 55% good or excellent, below last year's 60%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is a crop and weather report for the week ending May 6th. Most of the state experienced a good week for field activities. However, some southern portions of the state received heavy precipitation, which kept farmers out of the fields for several days. Some farmers were using rotary hoes to break up the crusted soils in emerging corn fields. Planting of corn made good progress and is now only 4 days behind the average pace and 3 days behind last year. Planting of soybeans is 6 days behind average and 3 days behind last year. 42% of the intended corn acreage has been planted compared with 49% last year and 52% for the five-year average. By area, 37% has been planted in the north, 51% in the central region, and 37% in the south. 10% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted compared with 14% last year and 20% for the five-year average. 79% of the winter wheat acreage is jointed compared with 86% last year and 89% for the five-year average. 10% of the winter wheat is headed compared with 25% last year and 18% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated 37% good to excellent compared to 83% last year at this time. Pasture condition is rated 61% good to excellent. Last week there were 4.2 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture was rated 1% short, 72% adequate, and 27% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 79% adequate and 21% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0 to 1.39 inches. Temperatures averaged from 5 to 11 degrees above normal with a high of 90 and a low of 43. The Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your local newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Champaign County Supervisor of Assessment says he'll attend a meeting tomorrow night where the county board may vote to fire him. But Kurt Diedrich says he may let his attorney speak for him, and he says he'll appeal the decision if he's dismissed. Several county officials have expressed anger over Diedrich's recent changes to the tax assessment process. Former University of Illinois football player Derek McPherson is headed to trial later this month on burglary and theft charges. Today, a Champaign County judge scheduled a May 21st trial for McPherson, who's from Maryland. He and his teammate Jody Ellis are charged with 4 counts of burglary and 2 counts of theft. Police allegedly found wallets, computers, and other electronic devices in Ellis's car after a minor accident in Champaign in March. Both have pleaded not guilty, but Ellis's lawyer says his client plans to enter a plea agreement June 11th. Attorney Ed Perino says Ellis has tentatively agreed to plead guilty to a burglary count and would serve 4 months in boot camp. Authorities are searching for one person who's missing after a fire destroyed several buildings this morning in Crawfordsville, Indiana. The missing person is a resident of one of the apartments above the storefront buildings. One firefighter was treated for exhaustion. About a dozen Illinois lawmakers flew off to Las Vegas last weekend for a cable TV conference, with legislation pending back in Springfield that could change the industry. The Cable Television and Communications Association paid expenses to its national convention. Republican Senator Kirk Dillard of Hinsdale says he went because experts on cable issues aren't available to him in Illinois. Some of the 38 House and Senate members invited declined to attend, though, because of the legislation, which would open up cable TV franchises to other businesses such as AT&T, who could compete for customers. University of Illinois officials are waiting for the state to take action on bids to become the sole soft drink provider on some state properties. The U of I's joined into a collective bid for a pouring rights contract. The U of I's own contract with Coca-Cola ends this summer. Chancellor Richard Herman says the results of the bids may determine whether the U of I will sign a contract or if it might try for its own. He says concerns raised about Coke's practices overseas will be taken into consideration. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on WOLL. We're joined on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Busy day for you there in Cheyenne?
Very busy. Lots of weather over the last couple of weeks, as we all know, and what the future holds is going to be very interesting.
Well, tell me about it.
Well, we're going to stay in a very active weather pattern, and although in the short term we're going to see the heavier rains in Oklahoma, Texas, then into Michigan, and shifting into Indiana, then into the south central and southeast United States, we do see a weather pattern that is likely going to favor more chances for precipitation in the Midwest, Corn Belt area, as we get into this weekend and early next week. The pattern is going to be favorable for small weather systems to come out of the southwest and tap into some Gulf of Mexico moisture, then lift that northward into the Midwest and Corn Belt again. We especially see this as we get into Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, and then all the way up into that following weekend. So we may have a little bit of a break in the precipitation, but it may be followed by more.
And so we've got a curveball coming out of the Gulf and the southwest, and it'll run across what areas? Missouri, parts of western Illinois, and into Iowa?
A lot of the same areas, that is correct. I'm afraid that the pattern is setting up to not exactly repeat itself, but being a pattern favorable to bring more rain to areas that really don't want it right now.
And then if you look around the globe, what do you see for other places?
Well, the pattern has been very active, as you'd expect, as we change the seasons. In Europe, the best moisture there, going to be some pretty good moisture in Russia, across northern and central and northwestern Europe. Southern Europe, going to be a little bit on the warm and dry side, but some of the dry areas of Europe are going to get some beneficial moisture here over the next week or two.
And we always like to check in on the Chinese conditions.
In China, well, they are experiencing typical spring weather over there, and it's going to be moist, not in the short term, only near to slightly below average moisture over many areas of China through the weekend. But next week, especially the southern, central, and western growing areas have a good chance of getting some moisture.
And finally, we don't often tell people where they can find out more about you, but you've got a website, don't you?
That's right. Just go to dayweather.com.
All right. Thanks much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You can always find more about him at dayweather.com. You can find out more about the ag programming here at WILL at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you can pick up our daily ag programming as MP3 files or podcasts. And don't forget to sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's all at WILLAG.org. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.